Okay, is everybody back?
Yep.
I am.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Nancy back?
Okay. Yep, I'm here. I pressed on.
Great. Good. So I wanted to start out today with announcements, and I know that we had the NAAW meeting last week, and some of you are on the phone that were there, so can you give us an update of how that all went?
Who all is here? Who is at NAAEE? Are there others besides me? This is Karen.
Yeah, I am.
This is Ingrid. I was there.
Ingrid Bora.
Oh, hi, Ingrid.
Ingrid Bora.
Hi.
Ingrid, anybody else? Okay, well, it's just the three of you then.
We're all well, tired. This is Ingrid. I can comment a little. This is the first time I've been to NAAE, so I can't compare with previous years. But I felt like I got a lot out of it. I got some good ideas. I thought that, you know, presentations were generally strong. I didn't think there wasn't a strong focus on climate and energy literacy. And of course, there were the talks associated with the Clean Network, and there were a few others, but it tended to be more, I guess what I see as traditional environmental education. But that's fine. You know, that I learned from those, too. And one thing that I noticed from those talks was a lot more discussion of values and even morality in the process of teaching than I'm used to hearing about. Seems mm-hmm. to be part of that field.
Okay, well, thanks. I actually can say that I didn't go this year, but that is something that you hear a lot more at the NAAW meeting than other science education meetings.
Yeah.
And the other thing that was new and different for me this year that I was excited about is there were several people who gave presentations, and there was lots of discussion about the role of social studies as a part of environmental education and particularly climate change education. Kristen mm-hmm. and I did a workshop. We had 13 very engaged participants, and the part of the Polka materials that we featured on the Clean Network call back in February that they were very interested in is the social studies standards and the need to provoke more competencies and knowledge about governance and decision-making and action and the role of social studies curriculum and program areas in achieving that goal for students. Mm-hmm. So I was excited about that. There were some school district people that were social studies people, as well as non-formal, and they were talking about sessions next year in San Diego. For those of you who keep your calendar a year ahead of time, next year the NAAE conference is in San Diego, October 15th to 18th.
Okay, great.
Hey, this is Kristen. I'm sorry I came in a little late.
Hi there.
I don't know what other folks said, but one thing that I thought that was also interesting was just actually engaging with Canadians. And mm-hmm. I guess I hadn't really thought about, Tamara, I'm not sure if you know how many or if there are members of the network that are Canadian.
I am.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a Canadian on the call.
I can't actually say nationality. I can say that we have a good number of people that are international, but I can't. We could probably go in and discern if some of them, what countries they come. I mean, I do have contact information, but not right on the top of my head. So I can't say. So, Scott, you're actually in Seattle. You may be actually Canadian, but I wouldn't be able
Scott,
to tell that
here.
From all the information we have.
But it was interesting. A fellow had stopped by the poster, the clean poster, and was he was from the Museum of Science there in Ottawa and mm-hmm. was really excited to find out about us because he – has sort of been tasked with setting up a network in Canada. And I said, well, I don't think we'd be opposed to having Canadians join up with this one, especially we're all in the same time. You know, it's the same. It's not like international as far as Europe. You know, we're all in the same time schedule.
We're on the same. Yes. Having people international, you know, having Canadians join us would be terrific.
Yeah. Well, and he was really excited, and it was interesting to talk to him though because. I mean, it's such a, I guess it's a U.S. perception of the world, but I just had always sort of assumed folks in Canada would be pretty aware of what was going on, at least down here in the U.S. as well. I'm sure you must know about the research that's been done on, you know, in museums and in aquariums and on interpreting climate change. And he said, he didn't know about the Six Americas, he didn't. Sort of the work that he does, you know. And he said there's a real disconnect in Canada. It's hard for them because they think of themselves as being very green and, you know, love nature. It's sort of part of who they are, yet their extractive industry is so huge. And so it's a challenge, he was saying. So I thought it was really interesting.
Well, I can say that I did get one email from somebody who wanted to become a member of the Clean Network who said that they heard about it at the NAAA meeting. I don't know if there are other people that are interested, but we did have at least one email me.
Great.
Okay, any other comments about the NAAA meeting?
I'll just pipe in. This is Bora. So I was busy doing all sorts of other things and didn't get to go to any clean things. But I want to reinforce what Karen said about that NAAE has a much stronger social science sort of connection to it than obviously you find at NSTA or AGU or whoever. But that also NAAE, it has a brand new partnership with Kettering Foundation, which was kind of launched at the conference. And it's this whole development of what are called issue guides, and they're forums to allow people to talk and deliberate civilly about environmental issues. And our first issue guide, which is truly in a very draft form right now, is going to be on climate change. And Frank is on our leadership group for that, and Billy Spitzer from New England Aquarium, and lots of other people. And Kristen went to one of the sessions where we were just kind of giving a broad overview of the new project. It's so new, it's not even up on the website.
It was very exciting for us because that's what we're sort of launching this. So, Bora, you have to send me that. I have to read it.
yeah, it's in my pile
of
to-dos.
And what does the Kettering Foundation bring? What is their focus?
Kettering is a foundation out of Dayton, Ohio. They've been around for decades and decades, and their whole thing in life is about deliberation, getting people to be able to take really complex and controversial issues and sit down, like the national debt and education reform and health care, so really big national types of issues, and sort of be able to sit down in a community forum and talk about them in a deliberative way. So really get to, you know, beyond the name-calling and the left-right and all of that. And so we are rekindling a partnership that we had back in the 90s to develop something called the Environmental Issues Forums, which so they'll focus obviously on environmental. So our first one is climate issues. Kettering's coming out with one on energy, and we'll probably adapt it for being a little bit more environment. related, and then we'll probably develop something around water issues, but we're not quite sure how we're going to do that. So it's about a 3-year project.
I'm sure you understand from what Laura's explained that it's for adults primarily. It's not a classroom.
Yeah. Right. High school maybe. Well, actually, it has been used a lot in high school, a lot in colleges, and then mostly for truly the public, whatever the public means. And it's also something that is people will do it as a one-shot. You know, come talk about this for 2 hours, but they'll also do it as a beginning conversation to come up with common ground so that they will then start to think about, well, what do we do about this? It's always framed around the, what do we do? You know, so the assumption is there is climate change. So what do we do about climate change? What are the policy, individual, local, national, global policies and actions that can be done? And same thing about water or any other environmental issue or things like the national debt.
Bora, does this build on the ones like biodiversity and solid waste that came out a long time ago? And is the plan to develop similar pamphlets? There was a large detailed one, and there were smaller targeted ones. Is the plan to develop that kind of pamphlet this time around, too?
Yeah. So back in the 90s, we did 3 or 4 or 5 of these. So one was on biodiversity and wetlands, solid waste. There was actually one that WWF did with cooperation with, I think, the Monterey Bay Aquarium on fisheries. So there's a number of these that were created back in the 90s. And what we're doing is for some of those, like biodiversity, we might be updating it. But, yeah, we're going to be creating these discussion guides that allow people to basically sit down and really talk through what we value and the trade-offs amongst the things that we value. So it's long and complicated, and Frank and I have talked about that once we get up and running, maybe we'll propose doing a session on it after the first of the year when we know more about what we're talking about. But we did train about 30 moderators at the conference, too.
Well, that's great. Okay.
Thank you,
Laura. Thanks a lot. That actually segues somewhat into what I wanted to just mention. I was at this National Academy of Sciences Committee meeting. The topic of the committee is focused around preparing future policymakers for science-based decisions. So this is well beyond just climate change or environmental or energy. And what was interesting is most of the people that are on the committee are lawyers. And the idea here is what can they bring to these professional schools, these professional settings, that can enable people who are studying to be lawyers or businessmen or what other professions, how to really make responsible, you know, how to increase their climate, their science literacy, not just climate literacy. And they're really at such an early stage that just figuring out how they might integrate science into things is a challenge. I was brought in around my Earth Labs project and modules that we have to help improve high school students, you know, abilities in science. So really what I pointed to is that it requires a partnership between the lawyers, the scientists, and educators so that learning actually can happen, and that they should focus on integrating those science and engineering practices so that their students do become science literate and are able to actually deal with scientific data and scientific information. So the things that you were describing, Bora, sort of may intersect at some, you know, in some level with that, because it is intended for adult kind of audiences, just in professional schools. So I just thought I'd put that in there. So are there any other announcements? Because we're running a little bit late. We do need to get on to our presentation for today.
Thank you. That's encouraging.
Okay, so today we have a presentation from Nancy Leon from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, JPL. From her bio, it looks like she's been very involved in trying to get science information, and particularly JPL's information or NASA's information, out into a form on websites for elementary school children. And the topic of her presentation is Climate Kids, a fun, accessible approach to understanding climate change and sustainability. So, Nancy, if you would just, people should have downloaded your slides. If you can just refer to slide numbers, so if somebody comes in late or gets lost, they can catch up.
Okay. Thank you. I'm so pleased to be able to do this presentation to this group. I will look forward to questions. Just feel free to pop right in while you've got the question on your mind. I'm hoping that for those that have not been to the site, that this can be a good introduction and that you will go and also please give us comments on things. There are always things that we can improve, so feel free to get back to us with things that are not just the good, but things that you think we can do better. I have a set of slides up there, which I hope you've downloaded, but I also have the website up, and I thought perhaps if you want to bring both of them up on the screen, climatekids.nasa.gov, as well as the PowerPoints, I can refer to where I am on the PowerPoint, but also I can introduce it to you on the website itself. Because, you know, it's always, a website is always much more exciting as a website than in, you know, made static in a PowerPoint. So, climatekids.nasa.gov and the PowerPoints, and I'll go from there. Also, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm actually at home today, so I've got my fingers crossed that the mailman doesn't come, because if he does, I'm going to be so embarrassed, because my two dogs are going to start. You're going to hear a lot of barking, you know, and I can't put it on mute because I'm supposed to give my talk. So anyway, I'd like to apologize ahead of time in case we get interrupted. So anyway, starting at the front slide there, you see our logo, and on the front page you'll see our menu, and I'll go into the menu a little bit later to explain that. And slide two, again, just shows you a screenshot of the front page and our URL. It is a NASA page, so it includes more than just the work that is being done at JPL, but rather it is the NASA page for kids on climate change. And we're the companion page to climate.nasa.gov. And so we try and take the information that we feel can be communicated to elementary. Our goal was upper elementary. In fact, we believe that it's used quite a bit higher as well. When we were transferring over to a new design the site inadvertently went down for about a day and a half, we heard from three high school teachers saying, "Where's the site? I need it for today's lesson." So I think it's kind of one of those things where good teachers look for good resources and adapt the content. So anyway, I think that kind of covers slide three. Obviously, you know, we're looking at the basics for climate change science, sustainability, biodiversity. A lot of these topics are not necessarily extensively covered in the elementary school curriculum, but we feel that it's easy to introduce them. Comment? I'm on slide four, and we have a lot of topics that we cover, but I wanted to introduce you to our big questions. I'm on slide four, and you can also find the guided tour to the big questions on the upper left-hand corner of our left-hand menu. And we created the wheel-like approach to give it a little bit of the feeling of fun so that the kids can, you know, it's not totally dry material for such a young age. So if you click on a guided tour to the big questions, if you're on the website itself, you can go to the spinning wheel and move forward, et cetera. On the website, if you click on a particular part of the wheel, it will expand, and then you'll be able to click on that again and get to the area where those topics are explained.
Nice.
It gives it the feeling of a little bit of a game, okay?
Yes, it's very nice.
Thank you. Now, if you don't want all that, and you don't want, you know, if you're a teacher, you don't need to click five times. So if you look at on our menu, it says, or go to menu. And there, I'm now on the main page, left-hand side, directly underneath guided tour of the big questions, you have an option or go to menu. And here's simply a list with our big questions. What is global climate change? What's the big deal with carbon? What's the greenhouse effect? How do we know the climate is changing, et cetera? Okay? So if you look at each, I'm on slide five, but I've also clicked on any one of those big questions if you're on the web page. And the way that we handle these is very short paragraphs with engaging illustrations, drawings, pictures, et cetera. So we're giving them little bites. I picked on what is global climate change. And you can see there's paragraphs, little short paragraphs, cute pictures, engaging pictures, and then another one. So it doesn't, we didn't want it to feel text heavy. We wanted them to continue going as long as we felt that we could get them to continue to engage. And so hence that sectioning off the different portions of the topic. I think to some degree that, you know, we have succeeded. Our statistics show that our visitors are staying on the particular pages longer than the average for their age. So that's a good thing. Slide six, again, shows, you know, that how we've our approach to the big questions where we've got, we talked about. And slide seven is a theme that on that we have throughout the website, and that is, what can I do to help? I think it's very important to engage kids and give them a feeling of involvement. So, you know, we have a lot of things like topics about recycling and topics about using energy wisely and things like buying local produce and reducing your carbon footprint, because we want them to be choices that they can make and that they can guide their parents to make. And you'll see that there on slide seven, and then also throughout the web page. So then if you look at slide eight, and you can also look at the top menu across the site, there are two menus, two ways to navigate the site. The top menu says home, play, make, know, keep, watch, dream, teach, etc. And each of those expand. A dream is dream of a green career. keep up with the latest. So as you mouse over on the website, you'll see that those things expand. But this top menu is, we think the way a kid will think. I want to play some games. I want to do a make and do, a craft. It's Mother's Day. I need to find something to make for my mom. So those types of things, I want to watch some videos. That's geared at the child. We did add the two right-hand menus, Dream of a Green Career, and I'll talk about that later, but we think it's really important to introduce role models. And so these are people that, in their choice of job, are doing something to help the environment. The teach section, of course, is the materials here for the teacher. Above that, you'll see the planet Earth with the global climate change, and of course on the website, and that's the link to our main overarching site for grown-ups. Now, there's a second menu. Let me go out of order. Let me go back to slide 9. Multiple types of content. Here in on slide 9 is one of our games called Power Up. Slide 10, the interactive media. This would be under under watch, and it's the climate time machine. Number 11, we have a cartoon series that we've started with two episodes, which we call Climate Tales, T-A-L-E-S. Next one, slide 12, gives you an overview of some of our make and do activities. And these are under make on the main site. And these are really a great way to approach learning for the elementary school child. There's a lot of learning by making something, and the object becomes a way to introduce context. And introduce our messages. So featured here on this slide is an activity for creating a solar oven. And it's a simple aluminum foil box, aluminum foil lined box with a little skewer there. And it becomes warm enough that you can soften a marshmallow and melt some chocolate. So we have kids make s'mores. And it's just perfect. It doesn't get too hot to be dangerous or anything like that, but they can guarantee that their s'mores will be nice and squishy and good. If you look at the activity itself, it allows us to talk about, that activity allows us to talk about alternate energy. And we also are able to introduce the concept that in some places in the world, people do cook with solar ovens, seriously, not just s'mores. Another one of our make and do's over on the left-hand side of slide 12 is our seed balm, seed balls or seed bombs. And it's a craft where you use a dry clay, some potting soil, some seeds, and let them, mix them all together, let them dry, and then you can throw them where you want to plant them. So, you know, this is every kid's fantasy. I get to throw stuff. But it also allows us to introduce the concept of local plants, and that's important. So, well, and you'll see that throughout. We have another activity, make seed paper, and we show how to make paper from paper, you know, using the shredded paper. But with ours, we introduce some local plants. We have them shape it into whatever they want, and they can even paint it, happy birthday, mom, or whatever, and give their little seed paper gift. So these have been very, very popular with a lot of the museums that we work with because they're always you know, doing Saturday workshops. And these are just the types of things that let them build a workshop around. So we continue to add content to these as long as there's a good message, a way that we can, a nice to be able to introduce that content. One other thing on our Make and Do pages is, as a result of feedback that we received from the museum, from some of our museum partners, some of our after-school state associations, is we really use these things, but it's awkward to print web pages. We want, you know, four of our activity leaders to have this activity, then we need to print 12 pages to be able to get the activity itself. So what we did, and you'll see this on each individual make and do activity, we created PDFs of the pages so that these guys who want to print the pages do not have to be saddled with all of the headers and footers and the things that really they don't need to be able to use our activities effectively. So
thank you.
You know, we did try and pare things down, you know, to give them just what they needed. If there's a pattern, the pattern will be on a separate Xeroxable page and stuff like that. So
Nancy?
Yes.
Are these activities linked to the climate literacy principles?
We have
for
not.
For teachers or for educators?
We have linked them to the Next Generation Science Standards.
Okay.
We have not linked them to the climate literacy standards. Perhaps that's something you could give us a little bit of info on?
It just seemed to me that, you know, people are going to use this in different ways. If someone is trying to, if a teacher is trying to put together a unit on climate change, they might try to encourage kids to do an activity in each one of the different areas to promote the development of their minds with each one of those areas of the climate literacy principles is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Now, that's very it's not what the museum people will be thinking, but it's what your classroom teacher creating a unit on climate might be thinking.
Okay. Now, would she be using those? Or would she be using, well, and particularly in the next couple years ahead, would she be using the Next Generation Science Standards, which we were very impressed with how progressive they were in terms of issues like climate. And I should show you, in fact, let's go to that spot right now. Let me show you what we've done in terms of that linking, and then you can perhaps give us some guidance. On the web page, are most of you guys, do you have the web page open as well? Am I leaving you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes.
Go to teach. Oh, thank you. Go to teach. Okay.
Okay.
And then click on the second one down on the left-hand side, Next Generation Science Standards.
Got it.
Okay. So what we did here is we looked at the science standards. We looked at all three parts, the disciplinary core ideas, science and engineering practices, and the cross-cutting concepts.
Wow.
So, but we felt that the default should be the disciplinary core ideas because we felt that was the meat of it. Okay, but you can look at it in all three ways. They're all clickable. Those three boxes are clickable.
Can you tell me where that is again, please?
Where,
okay,
where have
you
clicked?
At the moment.
All right.
Next Generation Science Standards.
Next Generation Science Standards. So climatekids.nasa.gov/science-standards.
Oh, okay.
And to find it, you go to the Teach menu at the top, and you click on the Next Gen NGSS module, which is second one down on the left-hand side.
Okay.
Are you there?
Thanks.
Are you there yet?
I'm looking for it.
Okay.
Let's go
or
ahead.
Just type in the menu.
I see it.
Okay. Science-standards. Okay, perfect. So you can sort on any of the three parts of the standards. You can also sort on subject or on grade level. We felt that the default should probably be grade level, but obviously you can sort whatever way you want. Grade level, because you're teaching a specific grade typically at the elementary level. And then here are the standards that sorted by grade level. So if you click on, I clicked on 5, PS3 energy, which is the fifth grade standard.
I did too.
Okay.
Awesome. That is
okay.
So cool.
So there's the standard summarized, and the energy released from food was once energy from the sun that was captured by plants in a chemical process that forms plant matter from air. Okay, so that's what the teacher is supposed to be teaching. And then underneath, we have only one activity under this particular one. I guess if I would have been smart, I would have picked something different, but I just randomly picked Meet the Sun Power People. Okay, and you can click on that, and you can go directly to our activity that meets that standard. Okay?
Cool.
So how do we know it meets that standard? Once we did all of our linking, and it goes, you know, you can see it goes on. We went through middle school on all this as well, because we felt, you know, we're sure it's being used in middle school. Once we had made these links, we sent it to several local science teachers, half a dozen state science supervisors, and a half dozen or so school district supervisors, and got their comments. And so,
right.
You know, some of them they felt it was perhaps a little bit of a stretch. There was a slightly different intent. Others, you know, they said, well, what about such and such? You know, you haven't included that. So we feel it's pretty solid.
Uh-huh.
And so this was the, we felt, rightly or wrongly, and I don't know, but we felt that looking ahead, hopefully within, you know, it over the next couple of years, the teachers will be using Next Generation Science Standards and can use some guidance.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was kind of our thought.
This is great.
Well, I mean, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't align with other things, but I'm just saying this is what we did first. We also think that we haven't gotten there yet, but we do think that we could take advantage of the Common Core standards, because there's a lot in the reading, in the Common Core reading standards, there seems to be a fair amount of compare what you read versus the chart or the graph or the graphic of some sort, and what does each communicate to you. And so we think that we could sneak in a little science, and better than a little science, a little climate science, into the Common Core teaching. Because we use a tremendous amount of we're very graphics heavy. We're very illustration heavy. So we haven't had a chance to really explore that. Have you guys had any thoughts about that? Is that something you guys have thought of? Is there a way to sneak in via Common Core and get more teaching time?
Well, I can tell you that for the clean collection, it's because the Next Generation Science Standards have crosswalks to the Common Core, it is an area that we've thought about how to make it more materials more discoverable for those other areas, but we haven't had the funding to actually do that yet. But we have thought about it.
Okay, so it seems like there's something, that there's some possibilities there, right?
Yeah.
And realistically, I mean, we've got to face. They're spending a lot more hours on the week on reading curriculum than they are on science.
Nancy, the Museum Institute for Teaching Science in Massachusetts, we do link all of our science to literacy and mathematics in the professional development we do for teachers. And the teachers actually produce investigations that include links to the Common Core, especially our elementary teachers. We know that that's their priority. So
okay.
I do want to encourage you to pursue that possibility. It is complex, but I think it's really good.
Can you send me perhaps a URL or something where I can see your example of how you did the links, just to give us some inspiration?
Let's see, Nancy, I'll send you something. This is Jane Hines Fry. I'll send you something. I just don't know what yet.
Yeah, I'd love to see how someone else has done that, is my, that's the issue. How has someone else tried to use
I might send you a sample investigation of what our teachers created. And that's one which I think would be exciting for you. Okay.
Nancy, I'm just curious whether there's any discussion, maybe not within your group, but within JPL or NASA, about extending this into high school. You've taken it as far as middle school in terms of this alignment of NASA resources to the Next Generation Science Standards. What about doing the high school ones, too? Perhaps link to the climate.nasa.gov resources.
You know,
maybe getting on to Laura for that?
We could do that. We know that the site actually is used in the high school level. We just felt a little funny since our emphasis was upper elementary.
Right.
We kind of pushed it by saying middle school because we were sure it's, we're a little conflicted, but we think that it probably should be done at some point.
It's just a great presentation of that material. It's a great way of searching in multiple ways to find resources. So, much as what we've done in the clean, this is another way of getting at resources. Yours, of course, is fully focused on the NASA resources, and clean is broader than that. But I just think, it would be great to have a similar kind of resource also for high school. And maybe it's something separate. I mean, maybe what we do is just simply look at the performance expectations just for high school and align those with the NASA resources.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead, Nancy, please.
Well, I was going to say, I think probably our site makes more sense to be aligned than the main NASA site, because I think the main NASA site may actually go a little bit over the heads of some of the high schoolers, which is probably why we...
Nice, what we've seen, and I actually want you to get back to the presentation, but it's very nicely aligned to teachers and students at that level, and that's great.
Okay.
This is Tamara. Can I just ask a technical question? When you have these aligned, do you physically put them in your technical infrastructure under each of these categories, like the topics, or do you have them tagged in some way such that it can be created when somebody clicks on it? Do you understand what I'm asking?
No, I don't, and I'll have to check with my programmer. I'm not quite sure how
okay.
to get it.
I know, because one of the issues that we have, we are planning to align the clean collection with the next generation science standards, with the disciplinary core ideas of science and engineering practices and the cross-cutting concepts, but we have been waiting for ACHIEVE to come up with their planned standard notations for each of the standards so that we can use the official coding and not have to do it again. And it would be the coding that would be used also by NSTA. So that's why I'm asking.
We just summarized the standard. We just did the little part right there. We just did our
bullet point.
We just did our own, you know, because we just summarized it.
Okay, what I'm asking is so that under, like I clicked on the first one, third grade Earth Systems, and you have six activities or resources there. Are those in your system? Is that sort of placed there by you, or each of these things tagged with this particular one so that it pulls together when you click on it? I'm not making sense. Never mind.
I believe that it's actually placed there because there's no loading time whatsoever.
Okay.
You know, so I suspect they're placed there.
Okay,
they're right there. Because otherwise there would be some, you know, it would be, there would be some loading time, which you're not, you shouldn't experience. So,
Thanks.
When someone had said, Scott, I think it was, thank you very much, had talked about, you know, stuff is aligned nicely for the teachers. So I kind of introduced the top level bar as the way the kids think. But the left-hand bar, the one that goes up and down, weather and climate, of course the big questions, weather and climate, air, oceans, freshwater, carbons, travels, energy, et cetera. We put that second menu there because we felt that that hopefully will align with the units that the teachers are going to teach.
Right.
And so it's a second sort.
Mm-hmm.
But,
good.
You know, the kids don't care what type of I want to play a game. They don't care if it's one relating to oceans or relating to carbon or whatever. But the teacher does because they're working on a specific a specific unit. So that's why the two menus.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay. So. Okay, I just skipped back to number 13, multiple types of content, lots of different topics that we're covering here, and if you look at number 14, you can see things that you will find on the website, the wind energy, the shrinking polar ice, the Amazon wildlife, all kind of different spacecraft that that are studying Earth, the poor lost bird. So, you know, there are a whole variety of different things that way that we are that we're looking at. So that was. Number 14, wide variety of topics. Again, this is kind of showing you, the oceans, a little preview of the oceans menu, if the teacher was teaching the ocean theme here. Why is the ocean important? How does the ocean suck up energy, et cetera? And you can find a more extensive look at all of the material that we have that deals with oceans by clicking on the ocean tab in the teacher's menu on the left-hand side of the website. And a wide variety of topics, it's cold, is global warming over? This was one of the things that we did, this was one that we did early on, but it was one of my favorites. It was a middle of the blizzard that they had back east in 2010, and we figured it was a great way for people to say, you know, hey, there's no climate change because look how absolutely freezing it is. So that we did an article on that, and that's, I think it was in the Keep Up With the Latest. And here it is. It's in the Keep Up. It's cold. Is global warming over? And you can look at the icon for that. We had and at the bottom of the page as well, that same picture. And there's Obama's puppy Beau frolicking in the snow, a picture that was taken during that blizzard. We're not above using animals and things like that to engage the kids. We've got adorable pictures of, there's the adorable picture of Beau Obama. We've got cute, cuddly marmosets. We've got them all, you know. It's whatever works. So we try and take advantage of teachable moments. Mm-hmm. Wide range of topics. I'm on 17. We've got an activity there on the sun collectors, et cetera. Taking advantage of cute and cuddly animals, I'm on slide 18. We just recently added an article about lemurs, and apparently they've been doing some studies that show that during drought years, the infant mortality rate is a lot higher for the baby lemurs because the leaves in the mother's diet don't have enough water, enough liquid for the baby. So that's one example of some of the different things we can do. Slide 19 this is one of my favorite sections. I just want to call your attention to it. If you go back to the kid menu across the top and click on Dream, which expands to Dream of a Green Career. And we have a bunch of profiles on here of folks. We want to show the kids that there are an awful lot of things that that they can do as a future career that can be, that where they can help in that way. So we have profiles of the top one is a person who is a municipal recycling coordinator, and she talks about what her job entails. We have skipping down to farmers market manager. It's a gentleman that manages all of the various farmers markets in Portland, Oregon. And again, that allows us to get through the message of buying locally. A home energy auditor, a water-wise landscaper, a real issue here in Southern California. She creates the drought-resistant plant environments. A lot of people are taking up their lawns and putting in a xeriscape. So we really like this section. We just think it's a great way to engage kids in careers and thinking about careers. Another thing that I wanted to call your attention to is our series of icons. For example,
They're great. I just wrote that down. I was just going to say kudos for the icons and the written word.
Oh, well, you can see they tie in to what they match up to, what area. You know,
right.
In other words, the renewable energy scientist ties, that's the same icon that goes to the energy menu over there on the left-hand side. And, of course, they're all Dream a Green Career, but they also alternate with other things. Farmer's Market Manager goes to Plants and Animals as well. So all of our things are tagged in that way. If you go, you know, even the Make and Do. If you look at the Make and Do's, click on the Make menu. And, again, you'll see those various icons that are tying into where they fall.
Great. That's great.
So just, again, the whole idea was trying to make it easy for teachers or informal educators to incorporate our stuff into a theme that they've created, whether it's a formal classroom unit or whether it's a Saturday workshop. Okay. Resources for educators, slide 20. I think we've talked a little bit. I'll let you guys explore it. We end at 11, don't we?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, at the top of the hour.
Okay, I'll let you guys explore that one on your own. We talked about the NGSS stuff, but there's a lot of material. We have galleries. You'll see Gallery of Energy, Gallery of Freshwater, Gallery of Air. Each gallery matches up with the units that the teacher will teach on the left-hand side, the point being there's their bulletin board.
Right.
For each unit.
Yeah.
So it's support for that. Okay, 21. Okay, we talked about the NGSS. Whew, that's good. Okay, and there's our website, climatekids.nasa.gov. You can always reach me either at nancy.j.leon@jpl.nasa.gov or at info@climatekids.jpl.nasa.gov will come to me. And the other thing that I also wanted to mention is we just released a mobile app called Offset. It's all about the carbon cycle. I think, Scott, you had sent out a little announcement about that.
Yeah, I sent the URL for it earlier today.
And I'm hoping perhaps maybe you can send out a little, we have a little blurb for it, because I understand you are a network of networks. So I'm hoping that you guys can send out the announcement. We have an announcement. If you can forward that, then perhaps you guys can all forward that to your networks. It is really a hoot. The game has the retro graphics that are so popular right now. It's just really fun. It's got some really good messages about energy and what we can do in terms of converting the cute little cars that run around there to electric and converting the belching fossil fuel burning factories to power plants to windmills, reforesting the forests that are being chopped up by these cute little lumberjacks. I'd love to see if you guys can take a look at that and see if perhaps we can also engage folks in the app world with the educational apps as well.
So Nancy, if you'd like, you could send an email. Okay, so Scott's done that. All right, great.
I just forwarded it. email that you sent me, Nancy.
Oh, perfect.
With the URL and the blurb.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. And I do appreciate you guys downloading it, giving us comments, and forwarding it to others. And we just think it's another good way to get these important issues onto people's radars.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is a wonderful introduction to the site, and it's a really very dynamic and exciting site. So thanks a lot for presenting it to us.
Oh, I'm so pleased. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
That's wonderful, Nancy. Thank you so much.
Feel free to contact me with any questions or thoughts or anything. If you guys are doing programs, public programs, I sometimes have stickers, temporary tattoos, things like that for the kids with the URL.
Okay.
And I'm happy to share those if I've got them.
Okay, great. Okay, thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks, Nancy, for a wonderful presentation, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.